This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, glad you could be with us as we continue along in this hour number two. We got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up. And then Pat Donovan at WDAE in Tampa. We love having him on to talk Buccaneers. And we're going to preview the Bucs as they get ready for the divisional matchup with the Los Angeles Rams. They come off a wild card win against the Philadelphia Eagles. Tom Brady, 44, still getting it done. You know, I saw this little NFL meme the other day that Tom Brady at 44 is older than the four other opposing coaches that are left in the NFC. Sean McVay, Matt LaFleur, Kyle Shanahan. And I asked this question yesterday, and I really had thought about this. If you're Brady and you have a chance to leave in a way that leaves people to debate whether how far you could have gone, right? Let's say you leave at 46 with so much gas in the tank. I mean, everyone thinks you could play till 50, but you leave at 46. Or did he watch Ben Roethlisberger and say, you know, I'm really not going to go out like that. I'm not going to go out like that, where I can't throw the ball anymore, and everybody's kind of, you know, hey, we really love you. We really love you, but it would be great if you kind of left. I don't need that. I wonder which one it would be. On the one hand, we love the sort of, the athlete that gives everything, right? The athlete that gives so much that he's down to the last ounce that he can give. And then on the other hand, we don't really, we appreciate them to a point, but then we kind of want them to move on, right? It's like, you know, it's like if your father ran a business and you're like young and you want to take over the business and your dad's like 80, you're like, you really would love retirement. Wouldn't your dad play golf every single day, enjoy the bridge club while I just can take over this company? That's the way we are as fans when it comes to our quarterbacks. We love our quarterbacks. We love the ones that won us Super Bowls. But when they can barely move in the pocket and barely throw, we kind of like, yeah, wouldn't it be great if you kind of moved on to something else so we could get a younger person? Does Brady want that? Like, would Brady rather leave at 46 with us wondering how long he could have played? All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb is coming up next as we continue. It's Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
Oh, the good, the bad, the dumb, the Wednesday edition, the midweek edition, the hump day edition. What's the good of the day, my friend?
The good of the day. I like Andy Reid.
I like Andy Reid, too.
You know, and Andy Reid is, I don't know if he's Yogi Berra-esque, but he's getting up there with some fun quotes.
Okay.
Because recently he dropped a little line about how the Super Bowl title or winning, you know, he's staying hungry for another Super Bowl title, just like as comparing it to eating another slice of chocolate cake.
Really? How is he equating the two?
I guess he throws it out there.
You just love it.
I mean, you know, chocolate cake is awesome. So why wouldn't I guess staying hungry for another Super Bowl title? I'm not sure what goes on in the mind of Andy Reid.
Yeah, but Andy Reid, here's the deal. Here's the difference, Andy. I can go down to the store and get a chocolate cake.
Yeah,
like it would be like if, I mean, winning a Super Bowl is like you baking a cake with where you had to make your own ingredients from scratch. Like, you had to mill the flour for the cake instead of just buying a bag of it.
Here's the quote.
Chopping the sugar cane.
Here's what he said. If you have a piece of chocolate cake and you see another dangling in front of you, you're going to want it. That's how you feel about the Super Bowl. It's the ultimate chocolate cake.
I got it. Okay, so that's a cool way to do it. What he's saying is, like, no matter how many pieces you have, you always want more.
You always want more.
Yeah, of course. That's great.
Unless it has that, you know, that fake icing, then, you know, I can pass it, but.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Exactly.
But
now, yeah. I want chocolate cake. I'm sorry. Well, now, you know, I want chocolate cake.
You can have chocolate cake for breakfast.
You can. My grandmother let me have that when I was a kid.
Yeah.
When I was over, her house, she had chocolate cake on the table one morning. And she says, you want a piece of chocolate cake? I go, yeah. She goes, here, have a piece of chocolate cake. Grandma's house. She can have anything you want. I always remember that.
But like I said, I mean, he's coming up with he's out there with putting out quotes. I don't know if it's Yogi Berra-esque. But, I mean, here's another one that I loved after winning a Super Bowl. What was that, 44? No, 54?
54, yeah.
54. He says, well, I didn't spend it with the trophy. Well, I did. I spent it with my trophy wife.
Oh, that's sweet. That's great. That's earning you massive brownie
points.
That'll
get you another night, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Way to go, Andy Reid.
So, I mean, he's a smart man.
He is a smart man. Good job. I like Andy Reid a lot.
Yep. Do it for the chocolate cake, Andy.
I remember when he got fired in Philadelphia. It was just, it was like, it was one of those firings. It was like, the, you know, everyone had to move on, right? It was like, we've run this too much. It's not really going anywhere. Like, you're really good. You could understand it, right? But I was glad he landed on his feet. And look what he's done since arriving in Kansas City.
I know. I mean, he's taking it by storm.
Yep. He was part of that evaluation team that that wanted Patrick Mahomes. He was a voice in that discussion as well as everybody else. So God bless him. Yeah, I like Andy Reid. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
Bad.
Oh, the bad of the day.
Yeah, we can't forget the bad. The bad of the day, Texans.
What did the Texans do now?
Well, it's been almost a year since we started getting that inkling, that idea of them trading Deshaun Watson, right?
Right, right.
Since that time, they have not wavered once on their trade demands.
Man!
They are still seeking at least 5 draft picks, 3 of those being first-rounders.
Okay. I'm trying to understand it from their point of view. Let's say you had a house and the market was booming and you said, no, I want $500,000 for this house. Everyone's like, well, that's way too much. Like, nope, I want $500,000. And everybody goes, you're never going to get that. And you say, no, well, then I'm not selling. I want $500,000. Okay, then there's some point in the calendar where something happens in your town and everybody wants to live there, but there are no houses. And then everybody goes, okay, now I want, I'll pay $500,000.
But are the Texans at that point yet?
Are the Texans keeping their trade demands up? Because it's around this time when teams go, God, I need a quarterback.
But at that same time, you're holding on. Like when people were offering you for the house saying, I want your house, I want your house. And you kept saying, this is what I want for it. And they're like, no. You know, what if that house, you found out a couple months later, it's like, oh, man, that house is infested with termites.
Very true. Good point.
I'm going to have to come in there.
Way to add to the analogy. I like that.
Or, you know, it's like, hey, you know, the electrical wiring or the plumbing needs to all be replaced.
See,
that's going to cost me money.
I wonder if they're going to drop it down. But right now, it seems like there's going to be some teams, new coaches that are like, I'm only going to come here if we're going to go get a quarterback.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, well, now we'll talk to the Texans.
I mean,
to the Texans in October, but now we will.
The funny thing is, I mean, you know, the Texans have interviewed Brian Flores, which was the coach that Deshaun Watson wanted all along.
Right.
So I could see a scenario where the Texans hire Brian Flores, but could Deshaun Watson change his mind at that point and say, okay, I'll play with you guys?
I got a serious question to ask here. And I know that these are two kind of both off the field incidences are a little different, but they are kind of similar. The Pittsburgh Steelers had a problem about 10 years ago with Ben Roethlisberger.
It was longer than that, though, right?
It was probably about 10. I want to say.
I thought it was more. I thought it was like earlier on in his career.
You're
talking about the bar?
I'm talking about the bar. I thought that was maybe it was longer than that. Maybe like 10 or 11. I thought it was like 2008, 2009, but maybe I'm mistaken. I know early in his career, there was a Lake Tahoe employee that accused him of sexual assault in the hotel room. She was a manager. She worked for Harrah's, and she accused him of that. And then the situation at the bar in Georgia where the sexual assault victim actually did the things that you want a victim to do, like go to the police right away, right? Told the story. And the Georgia police kind of botched that investigation. The league saw enough there to suspend Roethlisberger, but the Steelers kept him.
Yeah.
The Steelers could have said, this is unacceptable. There were people who said that. There were prominent people. Terry Bradshaw was one of them. who said the Steelers need to cut ties with this guy. He is not a good person. He is not representing the team well. Whatever went down there, we don't have any evidence, but we have enough to make our own judgments, and the judgments aren't good. But the Steelers stuck by him, and I'm not trying to dismiss it. Don't get me wrong, but it did kind of disappear. Could the same thing happen here with Deshaun Watson with the Texans?
Well, see, I mean,
like here's
the issue though.
He deals
that you
with
have.
It, but the Texans just keep playing him until eventually.
Maybe, but the issue that you have is, you know, during that time for Roethlisberger, I mean, he wasn't suspended for the entire season.
No, he was suspended for 6 games.
Yeah. And so he came back and was able to play, which helped erase that. It was a shorter gap of time.
Right.
I think this one, I mean, first of all, it's like 20-plus massage right. therapists who are yeah. accusing him, not just
yeah.
one
Absolutely.
Person.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, 20-plus, which seems kind of odd, saying he was like, all right, this is spread out all over the city. You know, how could 20 people have the same story type of thing? And the fact that, you know, he was already at odds with the team as it is.
And yeah, before, yeah, you're right. We got to remind people of that. There was tension between him and the organization
yeah, he
even
wanted
before
out.
All of this came out.
I mean, for us to think about it, he wanted out because they were making decisions when they promised to include him, and they didn't include
and
him.
They didn't include him, and then they started getting rid of players that he was like, I kind of need that guy,
yeah.
and you're sending him away.
Yeah. yeah. You don't need a DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, you don't need DeAndre Hopkins anymore.
No.
He's like, no, I kind of do.
Yeah.
And you're getting rid of him, and now I don't like this at all. Right?
Who am I throwing to? Kuti? No.
So you're right. You are 100% right that the organization and him were already at a high tension point before these accusations.
And,
because I remember us talking about it. We felt like he had a little bit of leverage. And then when these accusations came out, like, oh, there goes his leverage.
Yeah, I mean, and that was the other side, too. When the Texans Texans could have traded him before the draft, they would have gotten who knows how much they would have gotten.
Yeah.
They could have gotten 5 first-round draft picks.
Oh, sure.
Him.
Without question.
But I think it's the fact that he sat out the entire season. And let's face it, we kind of forgot about him.
You did. Yep.
You know, and if he comes back, is he going to be the same quarterback he was? I mean, he was a year removed. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a weird situation, but... No, the bat does fall on the Texans, still holding strong.
Still holding strong.
I guess in a way I could commend them, but...
But, yeah, the room a little bit.
They got to replace all the plumbing in the house that, you know...
They certainly do.
That they're trying to sell, so it's not a good one.
All right, what's the dumb of the day?
I got two.
All right, two.
Yeah. This one, the first one is, you'll enjoy it. It's Move Over Colts 2014 AFC Finalist Banner. Or we could say move over Predators regular season Western Conference champions.
Ooh.
Remember that banner that they raised?
Yeah, that's right.
For having the best regular season record?
Right.
That wasn't a thing. Florida State has raised the banner in their gym.
They did.
And it simply says 2020 number 4 final ranking. You know, we can all remember the March Madness tournament in 2020, and that does say there on there, it says NCAA canceled.
That's right, yeah.
You know, I guess on the one hand, to commemorate an era of time that none of us will ever forget, I guess you got to commemorate that with the banner.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. I guess so. That's a good point, yeah.
But it's just funny. Number 4
funny.
Final ranking.
Godly. Who needs that? All right, what's the second dump?
The second dump, I mean, you know, this one is a little more local, but, you know, you and I love ourselves some minor league team names.
Yes, we do.
The Houston Astros, this is a rumor. It has not been confirmed because they're supposed to be announcing it, I think, sometime this week. I'm not exactly sure on the date. But the Houston Astros had acquired or made the local team here, which was an independent team for a long time, Sugarland Skeeters.
Yeah, the Sugarland Skeeters, yeah.
They made them their AAA team.
Oh, good for them.
And it is being rumored that they are changing that team name from the Sugarland Skeeters to the Sugarland Space Cowboys.
Sugarland Space Cowboys. Is that anything to do with the movie?
It has nothing to do with I think it has everything to do with the fact that it's the Astros, NASA, just play on words, and then have a goofy team name.
Okay, yeah.
But, could not stop all the memes from Steve Miller Band fans.
That's true. Of course. Why not?
It's like, when are they just going to start calling him Maurice?
Yeah, exactly. Or the Gangster of Love.
Yeah.
By the way, who were the four guys in Space Cowboys, the old guys that went into space?
I remember.
Clint Eastwood.
Tommy Lee Jones.
Was it Donald Sutherland?
That sounds like one.
And was it James Gardner, Rockford Files guy?
Maverick himself?
Was it Maverick himself? Yeah.
Clint Eastwood, Tommy Lee Jones, Donald Sutherland, James Gardner.
Oh, my God. I was 4 for 4. Dang. I can't believe it.
The James things Cromwell I remember was also
and the
in
things
it?
I don't. Yeah. Yeah, I remember James Cromwell was in it.
Marcia Gay Harden or Marcia
That's
Gay Harden.
That's right. Yeah. Sent the four old men into space because they knew how to fly back an old piece of equipment that was going to crash into Earth. I think that was the storyline, was that they couldn't train young people to fly an ancient aircraft, spacecraft, but they had to bring old guys into space. It's like Armageddon. Instead of just training astronauts how to drill, they had to train drillers into astronauts.
Tony, drilling, you can't teach someone how to drill. It's a science. I don't have all the answers.
Exactly.
I just know. I have 25 years experience of drilling.
Got to drill, man. You know how it goes. Drilling. Yeah. It's in your blood.
I will make that depth. Don't worry.
I will make that depth. Most out of control movie I've ever seen.
Fantastic.
All right, that's the good, the bad, the dumb. Again, Pat Donovan's going to join us to talk Buccaneers. They get ready for the Rams coming up. And well, some issues with the Buccaneers. We'll get to all of that coming up in about 15 minutes as we continue with the Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. Again, Pat Donovan, WDAA, will join us in 10 minutes, and we'll talk to him about Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. Looking to save money this year? Look at Allstate. You can get the protection you need at the low rates you want. With Allstate, you can lower your rates, not your expectations. Visit Allstate.com or call an agent for a quote today. I did, during the break, look up the situation with Roethlisberger because we wanted to get that right. That occurred in March of 2010. And he was suspended for 6 games. So that was the situation there. It was a very interesting case, though. It really did make a lot of Steelers fans angry at the time. There seemed to have been, you don't want to say, in order to stay within sort of the legalese, there wasn't like direct evidence, but there was enough circumstantial evidence to make you feel like something happened in that bar with that woman. I mean, she went to the hospital. She found a police officer. They found, that she had some bleeding in certain areas and that they did a rape kit. They couldn't determine necessarily if it was. She did not want to pursue a criminal case, even though there wasn't enough evidence to sort of find him guilty. But she did not recant her accusation that Roethlisberger had raped her. But it goes back to what we were talking about. The Steelers stayed with him, even though the organization was mad at him and furious about him. There were a couple of sponsors that dropped out of the of sponsorships with Roethlisberger and the team. It made Terry Bradshaw want the Steelers to cut ties with Roethlisberger. This is a real serious situation. This wasn't just, another famous person getting accused and he may not even have been in the room. No, there was plenty of people who said, nope, she went back there. It was the VIP. She came out of there, troubled, went to the police immediately. All of those things that made you go, okay, there's enough there to make me think the Steelers should cut ties. But they obviously did not cut ties. And in this situation with the Texans, as we were talking about in Good, the Bad, and the Dumb, the Texans and Deshaun Watson were at odds anyway. And then here come all of these accusations against Deshaun Watson. It's enough for the organization to go, well, we were looking at trading you, and now we are still going to trade you because it's too poisonous to have you on the team. But it's weird how the NFL works in these regards, right? You think that the fan base gets angry and will be upset and they'll never respect you as an organization if you keep certain people on the roster, and then they just do. It's sort of bizarre in a way, but it's just the way sports seems to be. I mean, I look at Michael Vick. Remember when Michael Vick came out of prison and he was getting back into the league? Remember that? Remember that? Like, you think to yourself, okay, even if he goes to work out for teams, like he kept himself in really good shape in prison, and you think even if he goes to these teams and he works out, he does well, and you're like, okay, Michael Vick still has it. He still has this speed, arm strength, all of that. I think he'd be a great addition to the team. There was always the, how do we explain this every single time? Do we want our coaches in every press conference to be asked about this over and over and over and over again? Right? How much of this is a distraction? Is it worth the hassle? Is he that good? Like, if our opponent took him, would we be scared to death of facing him? And some teams said, no, it's not. Like, we're not worried about him on somebody else's team, and we don't want the hassle. Because it came with the territory, right? Everybody. GM could come out and go, hey, we're really excited that our draft class is signed, blah, blah, blah. And they would say, oh, yeah, what about Michael Vick? And you're like, oh, God, it's about to be Michael Vick again. No matter what you did as an organization, no matter what you were promoting, it was always going to be back to Michael Vick. And the Eagles were the one team that took the shot. Right, and it worked. He ended up getting two $100 million contracts in his career. He even played for the Steelers for a brief cup of coffee. But it worked. He had a second life. He had a second career.
Yeah, we largely forgot.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, about the dogs.
And when I think about Roethlisberger, and I read so many different sort of articles and just the way bloggers and even people on the professional level who, you know, are professional writers were writing these tributes to Ben, barely any of them talked about this. Barely any of them did. I know there was a good expose on Ben's entire career was done at ESPN.com. There was Seth Wickersham did a really good in-depth piece, talked about the highs and lows, and of course brought up this incident where, again, it was enough to make Terry Bradshaw say, hey, cut this guy. And this was after winning a Super Bowl, right? He had won a Super Bowl a few years before. And actually had won two, and they were still enough anger at this to say, get rid of him. But I wonder how the Deshaun Watson situation is going to go. Because if Michael Vick could find a job and the Steelers could keep Ben, I'm not exactly high on the whole league is going to take a moral stand here. They never do, right? They hardly ever. Well, I shouldn't say never. They hardly ever do. There are some, I mean, Ray Rice never found the football field again, right? I mean, remember how contrite he was and apologetic and did the tour and did everything, but he never found. And a lot of people said, oh yeah, but he was an aging running back. He was like getting close to 30. And that's kind of the when running backs leave anyway, but okay. I can buy that, but he never found the field again. Like, he punched his girlfriend, now wife, in the face on a security camera. That was it. That was all she wrote. Does Deshaun Watson, does he never play in the NFL again? Well, that's a stretch, because if the Texans find the right trading partner, then he's going to play.
Yeah, or even if he gets cut or waived, there's talent there.
There's talent there.
It's not. I'm not going to say it's a Kaepernick situation with him.
No.
Kaepernick did a lot against, you know, the stain on Kaepernick really was, you know, his response to the owners.
Right, yeah.
And the owners not wanting to take a chance on him because of the things that he was trying to do to the league,
right.
Which essentially he was doing to them individually.
And he wasn't, I do find that interesting, right? Because whether it's Roethlisberger, Michael Vick, Ray Rice, Deshaun Watson, there's a criminal aspect to it, right? There's a criminal issue that was going on that Kaepernick didn't face, right? Kaepernick was more political and more, you know, about how divisive that was. It's almost like there's a certain way athletes can overcome some legal issues in their life that continue their playing career. And again, you're right. If there is a team out there, if somehow the Texans either back off their demands or that there's some team out there that meets it, Deshaun Watson is too valuable of a player to just be out of the league forever. Like, eventually some decision is going to be made on him. You're right. The Texans are either going to cut ties and he'll just go somewhere else or he'll be traded.
to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Rams coming up this weekend in the divisional round. The Bucks coming off a win against the Philadelphia Eagles. Let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Our good friend Pat Donovan joins us, WDAE in Tampa, to talk about where the Bucks are right now. How are you, my friend?
You know what? It's always good to be with you, Charlie.
Well done. Well done. All right. What was the impressive thing about this? It was an easy victory for Tampa Bay, but what was some of the impressive things that stood out as they're making their move to defend their title?
Yeah, I think, listen, I on Friday, and last week was weird. I started the week a little bit concerned, and, well, you know, we've got all these injuries and this. And then as the week went along, I kind of built confidence. And on Friday, I said, I think this is a bad matchup for the Eagles, and I did. And I think the defense, you know, getting Jason Pierre-Paul and Shaq Barrett and, of course, Lavonte David back, I think the defense is going to come out with a ton of energy. That said, even believing those things on Friday, I didn't think it would look like it did on Sunday. I didn't think the Bucs would be up 31-0 at any point in that game. I didn't think they were going to come out and just completely dominate the Philadelphia Eagles despite the injuries they had. I went from thinking it was very unlikely this team could repeat to going, God, we got Tom Brady. What am I doing? Maybe they will.
Yeah. Yeah, from the standpoint of because that's the real, I mean, outside of Brady, was so impressive last season was what they did defensively. Is it about that level yet? Is there still some things that is missing from what we saw last season in their run?
Yeah, I think a little bit, right? I think Jason Pierre-Paul, he didn't have a huge impact on Sunday, and we're still waiting for him to look like Jason Pierre-Paul. He's really been a shell of himself this year, and it's due to injury. The guy will always give you everything he has and more. He probably shouldn't have been on the football field several times that he was this season, but he's not where he was a year ago, right? And you just, Lavonte David is still working himself back, so he's not 100%. And, you know, the defensive backfield has been banged up all season long, and it's almost like they're just trying to get back to that level. Even though they're getting pretty healthy now, they're still trying to get back to that level of play that they had late last season. So they just haven't been as consistent as we saw. Last year it was, you know, they started the year a little rough, and then once they turned the corner, that was it. They turned the corner. It's been very up and down this year. Four out of the last six games heading into the playoffs had given up 100 yards on the ground, despite the fact they've been so good there. So they've been a little inconsistent, and it's hard to have the level of confidence that you did a year ago entering the playoffs today.
How much of the conversation this week, and it's still early, Tristan Wirfs being out, and Brady was sacked four times in that game after he had left. This is a Rams team that can get to the quarterback. How much of a conversation we had about what impact that could be?
It's massive. It's absolutely massive. And I think it's difficult to really overstate how good Tristan Wirfs has been for this football team. He's a guy that looks like a guy who will wear a gold jacket one day if he plays the rest of his career without, you know, significant injuries. You don't see offensive linemen come into this league as rookies and play right tackle and give up almost no sacks. I mean, he gave up a sack to Khalil Mack, where Khalil Mack made him look bad, and then everyone else, it looked like they were playing a veteran tackle. The kid has come into this league and just showed a level of play and a level of consistency that young offensive linemen just don't. And it's been massive for this football team. And without him, like you said, you could see the difference last week. There was no question. And look, at Philadelphia's got a good defensive line. They don't have as good of a defensive line as those Los Angeles Rams. So yeah, the Bucs are really, if Tristan Wirfs is out or just isn't even himself, they're going to have to change the way they do things. They're going to have to really consider, you know, do we use the draw game more than we ever do? Do we use the screen game a little bit more than we typically do? They're going to have to do some things to have this defensive line a little off balance, because if they can pin their ears back, it's going to be a long day.
I get Brady wants to play all the time, and you never, as a starting quarterback, you never want to get pulled. But was there any thought about, hey, listen, this is a comfortable lead, let's get him the hell out of here?
I mean, I know for a lot of Bucks fans they were. Right. My co-host, who we call Safe Man because he's so nervous about everything all the time. But he's the guy that says, when a guy's hurt, once he gets back to 100%, then give him like 2 more weeks, right? Like, so he's freaking out all the time. Yeah, so certainly there's always some thought of like, what are you doing, man? Just get out of there. But it's Tom Brady, and Tom Brady does what he wants. And eventually
he
just kind of got to, yeah, you got to go, well, you know what? We're going to take that with all the good.
I got to tell you, here in Nashville, if Mike Vrabel says to Ryan Tannehill, take a seat, we're up. You know, 3 touchdowns. Tannehill's taking a seat. Brady's just different. I mean, he's got like Wally Pipp syndrome. I mean, Tom Brady, and yet he doesn't want the backup to play at all. Ever.
Yeah, and I don't even know if it's about that, right? Like, I don't think it's necessarily about not wanting the backup to get in there. I just think that he is the ultimate competitor, and if the game's being played, I want to play it.
Where are we with Leonard Fournette? Is there a belief he could play? And that could help, especially, but is there a belief that he could play?
Yeah, it's interesting because logic and common sense and a lot of the things that you typically think about when it comes to injuries and guys, they never tend to apply to hamstrings, man. I hate hamstring injuries so much, and you know this, Tony. They're just the way that they can sneak up on you and just, you think you're good. And it's like COVID, right? Anybody with COVID, like you're all right, I'm better. And then the next day you feel like garbage again. And hamstrings are like that, man. It's really weird. And so what concerns me is you'd think, hey, they thought he was going to go last week. So he probably will go this week, right? Like that's what logic and common sense tell you. But then you remember what a hamstring is and how much of a pain in the ass they are, really. And it's just, you don't know. It's for me, Tony, it's really concerning that early in the week last week, we were talking, and because that's the vibe we were getting from the team, like Leonard Fournette will be back on Sunday. And it went from that to Friday afternoon when I talked to Sarah Walsh. She said, I don't know, unfortunately, when we just talked to, you know, Bruce Arians, he was talking about Leonard Fournette kind of like Levante David, where it was very iffy. And the fact that it went from he's going to play or it feels like he's going to play to he's out almost just like that, it's really concerning for me.
All right, I'm going to ask you this because we've been asking this all week from guys who really know these teams. We've got three of the four games are rematches of games that were very early in the season, and a lot can happen between those games. But what can you tell us about the last time these two teams met in September? And is there any trend that you think will be consistent in this rematch?
Well, I hope that the Bucks don't allow the Rams to do what they did in the first game. And the Rams can if they want to. And that's just throw the ball quickly into the outside of the field. They were smart enough, as some teams have been, to recognize just how good. And when you look at the inside of the field with Levante David and Devin White on the inside, and with Vita Vea up front and Ndamukong Suh up front, the safeties are very good as well. The middle of the field is a dangerous place when you're playing this Bucs defense, and the Rams really did a great job of getting the ball out quickly and getting the ball out quickly to the outside, where the Buccaneers all too often, and listen, a lot of games it works. Todd Bowles is a great defensive coordinator and only knows about a billion times more than I do about football, but sometimes when a team starts taking advantage of those the corners being off 6-8 yards on the outside and just hitting the quick throws to the receiver, you know, they can just pick up yards at will. And the Bucs kind of let them do that in week three, and you can't this week. Now, they had a lot more injuries in the secondary early this season, you know, than they did in that game. So they'll be much better in the secondary, but, you know, does it really matter? Does it really matter if you're leaving 6-8 yards of cushion out there on the outside? So kind of like I said on the offense, where if Tristan Wirfs is out or isn't himself, you're really going to have to do things a lot differently than you typically do. Well, they're certainly going to have to do things a lot differently than they typically have defensively against the Los Angeles Rams, because Sean McVay proved in week three that he'll just take advantage of what you give him and eat that up all day long if you give it to him. I think it was 360 something or something like that for Matt Stafford the first time around. I know it was 4 touchdowns and no interceptions. You can't let him have a field day like that by giving him soft coverage if you're going to win.
You know, here in Nashville where I live, we've been buzzing about Derrick Henry returning. And one of the things that we, you know, looking at the Titans, they did go 6-3 without him. And they did replace him by using two running backs. But neither one of them had like a home run level that Derrick Henry had. You can kind of replace the stats, but you can't replace the effect. That being said, Tom Brady did spread the ball around against the Eagles. And maybe the Eagles aren't the best team to judge this against. Does he still miss Chris Godwin? Does he still miss Antonio Brown?
Yes. Antonio Brown, as much as he's out of his damn mind, when Tom Brady needed a big first down pickup or, you know, needed to make a play in a crucial moment, there are a lot of those moments where he was looking for 81. That's just the truth, you know, and you're going to miss somebody that you rely on like that. But even more importantly, it's easy to overlook when you watch the Bucs every now and then and you're not a Bucs fan or somebody who covers the team every day. But Chris Godwin, the way that they utilized him in the slot position was crucial to this team's run game, the kind of blocker that he is. He as a guy who led the team in receiving, may have been as focal in the run game as he was in the receiving game. Maybe I'm overstating that a little bit, but just the way that that he was such a big part of this offense, even on plays where he didn't touch the ball, that is so sorely missed. Now, the flip side is, as we talked about a little while ago, we have Tom Brady, and Tom Brady is this freak that just takes guys, just guys, and turns them into everyday household names. And if you give him time, if the offensive line is good and you make the catch on the other end, and you know, even though there were a couple where him and Tyler Johnson were a little off last week, Tyler makes a lot of those plays when you give him the opportunity. Even though he's been banged up this season and really hasn't made an impact until late, Scotty Miller, you know, has done that, and last year had one of the biggest plays in the history of this franchise. So as much as he's missing a couple of pieces that were absolutely crucial to this offense, he's Tom frickin' Brady, and if you give him the time, they won't lose because of what he's doing with the ball.
Pat, always good talking to you, my friend. Thank you so much. We'll go down the road with you soon, my friend. Thank you so much.
You got it, Charlie. Have a good one, my friend.
You got it, my man. Pat Donovan, WDAE in Tampa on the Buccaneers. I got the Rams this week. The Bucs are so interesting. It's such an interesting team. I don't know about you. This is just me personally. But have the Buccaneers gotten enough credit nationally for their 13-4 record, which is the same record as the Green Bay Packers? Green Bay went 13-4. Nobody blinked an eye. Nobody thought anything less of them. But for some reason, it was like the Bucs would like lose to the Saints in a, you know, lose to the Saints or getting shut out or lose to Washington on the road. And these were like really problematic losses. Antonio Brown and his blow up and some of the injuries that have been piling up. It's almost like, yeah, it's 13-4, yeah, but. Whereas the Packers, it was, yeah, 13-4, and that's what we probably thought they should be. Like the number one team in the NFC, Super Bowl contenders. Of course Tampa Bay is a Super Bowl contender. No one's taking that away. But don't you feel like this team, like there's still something that you're waiting for something else to kind of derail them a touch? Even though, you know, they won 7 of their last 8 games during the regular season and then dominated the Eagles, even though the Eagles were a seven seed.
You know what it is? It feels like they can be easily derailed.
Is that it?
I think that's
what
it is.
Might be it. Yeah, like you don't feel that way about the Packers. Like you feel like you have to go, if you're going to go beat them, you got to play really, really well, like, and catch them off a little bit.
You get this is how I'm looking at it, right? If the Rams play the way they did Monday night, I think they can get by the Buccaneers. I don't think they would get by the Packers.
Yeah, exactly. And it's really bizarre because, again, this was a very good season.
Like, and they're a very good team.
Very good team. And yet you feel like, man, there's some vulnerability here, and I can't quite put my finger on it. Maybe it's injuries, right? Tristan Wirfs is a bad injury for them because Brady did feel the wrath of that pass rush or the Eagles after he left that game, got sacked 4 times. And the Rams can get to the quarterback even if Tristan Wirfs is playing. So, like, that's really dangerous for the Buccaneers. But at the same time, I think it was the way they lost. I mean, I think it was on the road against Washington, the shutout loss on national TV against the Saints, right? Even early on against the Rams. It felt like there are moments when this team doesn't play that it's just highlighted heavily because of Brady and the fact that they're the Super Bowl champs. And maybe that's the reason. But 13-4 is 13-4. Still fantastic. All right, we'll wrap up this hour. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right. Thanks to Pat Donovan, WDAE in Tampa on the Buccaneers. Champa Bay.
I guess they're still Champa Bay,
they're
right?
They're still Champa Bay until they right now have the Stanley Cup. And they're looking
Lombardi.
To repeat. And the Lombardi, right now they own that. So there you go. Again, the anniversary of the Tuck Rule today, and we're still talking about Tom Brady. That's amazing. It's really impressive.
How many years ago?
20.
Just 20. I mean, that's just ridiculous. And that wasn't even his first year.
2 decades, yeah. 2 decades ago. This guy's still chugging along. And we're still talking about him. That's the impressive thing.
That's what it is.
It's not longevity. You can be a baseball player where you just get into a DH role in your 40s and you can still hit the ball far, but you can't do anything else.
Peyton Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, Philip Rivers, they had longevity in their career. Drew Brees, they had longevity in their career.
It's the fact that here we are. It's the 20th anniversary of the Tuck Rule, and this guy is still a Super Bowl. Favorite quarterback.
Don't you feel like he's like at the midpoint of his career? I mean, I know that's not possible because there's no way he's going to be playing for 40 years, but that's kind of the feeling you have when he steps on the field. It's like, yes, you're not a rookie. You're an elder statesman of the league, but you're not like these old guys.
Exactly. He should be in a rocking chair talking about the Tuck Rule. Like, they should find him in his retirement home somewhere. Hey, we're doing a 20th anniversary on the Tuck Rule. And he should be like, oh, yes. Come in, son. Sit down and let me tell you the story. I'm an old 44-year-old man, but I can barely remember it. Instead, he's leading the Bucks to a playoffs.